The Tefl Commute, Season 16, Episode 1, Commute Revisited. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, my fellow co-hosts. I'm Lindsay. I'm joined by...
Hi, Kerry here.
And Sean here. And
we are the TEFL Commute. We are a podcast for language teachers. That's not about language teaching, but the topic always comes up. And
bravo, Lindsay. It's been a few months.
It has been a few months. We haven't been on the air, as it were, since March 2023. And to sort of relaunch a new season of TEFL Commute, we had meetings over the summer, and we decided, why not relaunch by revisiting or rebooting or remaking or redoing? I think we decided...
You're making it sound like the episode's going to be on the prefix re.
Well, it is. It's sort of, because we couldn't decide on the word, and finally we went for revisiting. We're revisiting our first ever episode of the TEFL Commute, which came out on the 19th of March, 2015. A kinder, gentler time, perhaps.
We'll see. A time with older mics, for sure.
A time with older mics. A time before many things had happened. And it was interesting for us to go back and listen to episode one. If you're new to the TEFL Commute, you can find all our episodes still wherever you're getting this podcast. You can find all the older ones. How many episodes have we done altogether so far, Sean?
We've done 107 episodes, and if you are a regular listener, I should say we fixed the issue with Apple, so now you and Spotify, so you can now get all the episodes back in those places if that's where you were getting them from. We had an issue in season 15, didn't we? But 107 episodes—that's a lot to listen to.
Yes, and we've expanded our roster of hosts. Kerry, hi, Kerry.
Hi there.
Well, when you say expanded, you mean from the first episode.
From the first episode, yes.
Yeah. Although, so, Kerry, you appeared
Kerry
in a very early episode.
In season one, Kerry was already doing
I was in the corner.
Yes, it was Kerry's corner. And Kerry then has become a regular host as well. And Sandy Millen, who is not with us today. She has a sore voice or throat, something. And James, our producer, who also still works on the podcast. So we're all still here. We're a little bit of a bigger family now. We're all still teaching and training. And today we're going to revisit the topic of our very first episode, because maybe there has been some changes. The first episode was called Commute. Let's take a little listen.
You're listening to the TEFL Commute podcast, episode 1, Commuting. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TEFL Commute. This is episode 1, the very first pilot episode of a new podcast for English language teachers. I'm Lindsay Clanfield.
And I'm Sean Wilden. And we're going to be your host for this podcast, which is about, well, it's going to be about a lot of things.
Yeah, we're both English teachers and teacher trainers, but we're also keen podcast listeners ourselves, and we wanted to make a podcast that would address different aspects of the English teacher's life in a lighthearted way.
This is not going to be a podcast for heavy discussions or anything about language change, dogma, or the benefits and drawbacks of technology in the language classroom, or even the native versus non-native teacher debate, although we may touch upon those things. We prefer to approach the field of TEFL from a different angle. We want to share interesting facts and things we've discovered, give our listeners ideas for classes, and really just have a bit of fun with it.
We've called it the TEFL Commute because we wanted it to be just the right length to get you through your commute to work. In fact, we hope you're listening to this on the way to work right now.
But I know some teachers who are very literal. So if you're not commuting, that doesn't mean to say you can't listen. So you can listen while you're marking homework, doing the dishes, or even preparing lessons. So Lindsay, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I thought we could start our first podcast by going, as they say,
I find it embarrassing to listen back. I don't know about you, Lindsay.
Well, the audio quality wasn't as bad as I feared. I think there are other episodes where it was really bad. But it is, we do sound a little less comfortable on mics. But
I think we were going through that. I don't know if we can't remember if it was that episode where or before that episode, because we did a podcast series before that where we were working out how scripted it needed to be. But I'm sure yes. We didn't script because we don't script now. It feels really stilted at the beginning. It feels like especially am reading a script. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, it definitely feels that way. And it also, I couldn't tell if I felt that I sounded younger or not there, but I'm sure I was younger. So anyway, what we had, what that episode was ended up launching into was commuting. And so what I wanted to do is, as part of our revisit, I wanted to start by re-asking the same two questions that I asked Sean, but I'm going to ask Carrie and Sean these two questions. And I'll start with Carrie. The first question that I asked, what was 2015, is 8 years ago, was how long is your commute to work? So Carrie?
Okay, so answering both for now and then.
Okay.
About 15 meters down the hall, I guess, from the kitchen.
So less than a minute. This is like Sean's commute back in 2015 as well.
But my commute is now longer because I've gone upstairs.
So Sean has gone upstairs. Carrie, you're still 15 seconds away. I'm also like you, Carrie. I'm around 30 seconds away, 10-15 meters away from my commute. Sean,
I do actually have a commute now. Oh, hello.
Sorry, that was my dog.
That's how fashionable for an animal to jump into a podcast.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yes. This is post pandemic, isn't it?
Yes, that's true.
The dog in the background, pets on Zoom.
The dog wants to commute. I do commute into Oxford now because I teach more at the university than I did 8 years ago. So I have a bus ride commute.
Right. My second question. So lots of that hasn't changed, but I imagine for many of our listeners, there is quite a big difference with how long their commute is. Many more might be working from home. We're going to come back to that in a second. Let me ask you the second question to see if this has changed. The second question was, how much would you be willing to commute for a dream job? So, Carrie, a dream job, I mean, maybe you have the dream job already, and so you wouldn't want to commute any more than they did, but a job that you thought was really great.
I think I would, like, for the lifestyle side of a dream job, I would still want to be able to either walk or cycle
yes.
to work. I wouldn't want right. it to be distance that was beyond, like, a 40-minute yeah. walk or something.
Okay, so that was the key, the 40-minute for a walk or a cycle. Well, let's say a walk, 40 minutes.
A 40-minute walk, which would obviously be a much shorter cycle. I yes. think it's kind of my longest walking commute. When I was working in Madrid, I could walk across the center of the city, which was a lovely commute, and yep. it would take me 40 minutes. And I'd do it on the way home, but on the way to work, I'd usually get on the metro or something.
Yes.
So
all right.
I'd go back to that. I'd go back to a 40-minute walking commute across the city.
It's interesting to say 40 minutes. I don't think I mentioned this in episode one, but it was something that came up when I was getting ready for this version of the commute episode, is that some time ago, I think in the turn of the decade, researchers said that the ideal commute time is 16 minutes.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that ties in with the idea of the 15-minute city or whatever as well, doesn't it? You know,
that's
that everything's
true.
Supposed to be within 15 minutes, whether that's
yes.
well, apparently,
walking that or
also
bike
ties
or
in,
public
although
transport.
Your 40-minute thing ties in nicely with the raison d'etre of our podcast, which is supposed
yeah.
to be the time that it fits into a commute. And our first one, I remember, was a little bit less than like half an hour. And then
yeah,
it started growing and growing to around 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. Yeah,
that would be ideal for that walking commute. It would be.
Yeah, yeah. I still wouldn't want a podcast that's like, I still don't like 3-hour podcasts. Would never be able to get into that commute or otherwise. As for me,
But that's interesting. So you don't listen to audiobooks.
No.
Okay.
But I think for me, an ideal, coming back to the original question, an ideal commute, yeah, probably around half hour walk for a dream job. Again, it depends on the kind of walk, right? Like half hour walk through nice areas, not through underpasses or dodgy areas where I like kind of walk and shuffle run because I'm a bit scared. So no, definitely would have to be nice. Which half hour walk would be good, which could be like a 10-minute, 12-minute bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's interesting because, again, in that first episode, you and I reflected on our acute commute was more taking planes to things, which I think has changed considerably now.
Definitely changed. Yes, for many of the people. Another thing we didn't mention when talking about like a dream commutes or a sort of different kinds of commute was the fact of like cross-border commuting. I think there are some people that still do that. Mm-hmm. When we had our commuting like with planes or long train journeys and stuff, that's definitely gone down.
Although I was looking at that as well specifically, and it was like obviously a lot more people are working the majority of their time at home, and then they have to do a couple of commutes a month or maybe once a week or whatever. But those commutes have got a lot longer because people moved out of the city centers and found their, you know, like their country home where they had space during COVID, and then they haven't moved back again. They've stayed
Or indeed it might not be a country home. It might be, I think, like hiring practices where you could get hired for a job, but you could do so much more at home. So you'd have to, like, you know, you only have to come in like 3 times a month, but because you're doing so much away, you could be hired from far further away. But those 3 times a month, you'd have to travel quite far, maybe across the country or maybe across somewhere else.
I think the term for that amount of commuting is called extreme commuting. See, I did pay attention to that episode.
And that was also an episode one.
Hang on. Speaking of definitions, while I'm on definitions, you defined commuting in episode one, which we'll play back at some point in this episode. You asked me something like occurred, and I said no. And you said, oh, so I'll put it into a course book lesson then. Did you?
No, it never got into a course book lesson. I think after 2015, suddenly a lot of things happened in 2016, which kind of rocked everyone's world. And then we had the pandemic. And so probably I forgot commuting after a while. But no, I don't think it has made it into a course book. Sean mentioned that we would be rehearing some little bits and snippets of that episode that we can comment on later. Why don't we do some of that now?
It was pretty awful. So, commuting and teachers in general. Sean, do you have anything that you found out about commuting that you'd like to share with us?
It's interesting. I think at this time of year, commute is something that seems to go all over the internet. I don't know whether it's kind of, you know, we have silly season in the summer where there's no stories. And obviously, commuting is something that the papers write about in winter, and I've never really noticed that until we were getting ready for this podcast. I mean, this week I've learned, and these are kind of things I probably bring up in my class, I've learned that commuting actually makes you younger, that by 2016 we'll be commuting by jetpack, and the weather's so cold in parts of America at the moment that commuters are having their eyeballs frozen. So
you're reading different websites than I am, because I found you found like good stuff. I found here, listen to this, Sean. What do you like? It says
okay. So I still cringe at the sound of myself from back then. So a few things that come to mind from listening to those clips. I believe I said teaching is always one of those jobs that will have face-to-face work.
Yes, that is. I mean, yes, it didn't take us long to find those pre-pandemic quotes that just make everybody like smile or cringe or roll their eyes or hold their head. But yeah, I mean, this was the thing, like, you know, I think at the time there was a lot of hype for teaching. We wanted to do commute because we still assumed that the commute would be a thing, even though both of us, all of us, were beginning to do more and more online teaching or online aspects of teaching. But despite all the hype, I too never thought that teaching would be something which you could do entire whole courses online, rather, aside from like a teacher training course or MA or something like that. What about you, Kerry?
Yeah, I mean, also there was this thing about students were coming, they all went online. But as we went back into the real world again, suddenly loads of students online were commuting. They were in their lesson on their commute. Did that happen to you at all?
Yes, on buses.
Yes, exactly, on buses and, like, you know, coming in and out, and the audio is awful, and it was like you're trying to hold some kind of class when you know that there's people all over the world just traveling in different directions. That was a bizarre kind of crossing back into
Yes.
Normality, which I don't think we've gone back into totally. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and it was this thing that for some teachers, there's less commuting, even though they're still, they've gone back to face-to-face teaching, but now they're choosing to split their work schedule between face-to-face and online. So that thing before of having two blocks of teaching time kind of separated and you had to commute to both of them. And so you're having like four long commutes a day. I think a lot of teachers are trying to avoid that. Like the workaround now is to be a hybrid.
Yeah. We'd be interested to hear from any of our listeners if this is the case for you, like if your commute has changed, because I think in episode one, we did mention that idea of the split shifts of like sort of you do your morning hours and maybe your lunch hours and then an evening hours. And so Kerry's right. In some cases, I think I would be commuting to and from home like twice in the same day. And that was long commutes. So a lot of time on things. And that from what I understand now has changed for lots of teachers whose even work will be like in their contract will be X amount of hours online, X amount of hours face to face.
I was thinking about it the other way as well, actually going back to what you said about commuting across borders before, Lindsay. I think we're actually now, because of the growth of the work online, people actually commute, but online they're going to different countries to teach because we no longer have to be in situ to teach, so to speak. You end up taking on working for a language school or somewhere in a different country, teaching the students in a different country. So that's a big change as well.
And I think also that aspect of because all of us started all of a sudden classes on Zoom and video lessons with a lot of students became the norm. We suddenly were participating in each other's commutes or like Kerry was saying, like we could seeing not me, I wouldn't be teaching from a commute, but certainly had lots of students joining from commutes of one style or another. So that was also interesting. Yeah. Joining from their car, you know, I'm stuck in traffic, but I'm coming to class anyway. You know, that kind of a thing.
I think
I could take with you, Kurt.
Yeah, one
sorry,
to ones
I did it again.
Especially. Yeah, one to ones and like business classes and that kind of thing. A lot of that, it just made total sense not to go back to face to face, even if the office is like a couple of blocks away.
Yeah,
it was more convenient for everybody involved to just get on Zoom or whichever platform. And so those commutes, I think, for a lot of teachers have disappeared, and for a lot of students as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I was just thinking about it just because it's an area I'm working in the moment is the idea of micro-learning. And actually tying into what you said about people joining lessons like on the commute. I think I remember way back when mobile learning started, there was in a conference somebody talking about, yes, people will be learning on their commutes and they'll be learning in church. And that really never happened. But actually now it does happen. And it fits in, I think, with what you've just been talking about. And so a lot of lessons, but this idea of the micro learning has come up for people to learn while they're commuting. And you get these courses now that are divided into very small chunks. So you can see the students. I often see on my bus going into the university, students doing their lesson, doing that video lesson. But it's part of the micro learning. So again, that's a big change from 8 years ago.
And also, was 2015 had Duolingo already come out? Don't know.
I suspect so.
That also helped contribute to that idea of the micro.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Burst in terms of our field.
Yeah,
call smartphone, use your phone on your commute to, you know, do extra self-access stuff had been there before as well, hadn't it? Like long before the lockdowns.
There was another prediction that I would like to bring up that Sean had managed to fish out. And that was a prediction for 2016 that I was very dismissive of. And that was that people would be commuting via jetpack. Do you want to just remind us of that again, Sean?
I'll just go back to what I said at the beginning. How do you fancy commuting by jetpack then, Lindsay?
I don't know. No, I can't see that.
There's a New Zealand company that's claiming that that by 2016 it will be starting, and he claims that in 5 or 10 years, and I'll quote, we wouldn't be surprised to see jetpacks flying around on a daily basis.
Get out of here. That's like the Amazon thing where they were going to send
the drones.
Yeah, no, I don't buy it. I don't think that we'll be commuting by jetpack. I think we still will be commuting, or maybe people will be working more from home, although we've been saying that for years now.
I think teaching is one of those jobs where there's always going to be face-to-face work, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's always going to be that. Now, whether online just changed that in any substantial way, I don't think so. I think we teachers will always commute. But as I said, again, going back to what I said.
So, just as I point out in the clip, it wasn't me. That was some New Zealand research just before before I get hammered for that.
Yes. Well, that was one of those things that we didn't see, but I think that was and I don't think we'd see any.
Along with flying cars.
Yes, along with flying cars, yeah.
What, you mean you don't travel by jetpack in Spain?
Hello, TEFL Commute listeners. This is producer James here, just popping in with a quick message to say thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget that we're available on all podcast players. So if you want to find us, the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, teflcommute.com, where you'll find links to all the major podcast apps. And while you're there, you can also find the archive of all of our episodes, going back over 100 episodes now, with the show notes and links. And of course, if you want to follow us on social media, you'll find us in all the regular places. Just search for TEFL Commute, all one word, lowercase. And finally, if you are a Google Podcast user, then I would recommend that you do that now, because Google is closing its podcast app at the beginning of 2024. So if you are a Google Podcast user, now is the time to get hold of another app and sort out your subscriptions. Obviously, first and foremost, get the TEFL Commute. Thanks for listening.
So I remember, like, back in that first episode, we had a section on acronyms, and I was just thinking, like, the acronym that I think is the one that is definitely wasn't around at the time was WFH. And that has, like, and I don't know, does anyone actually say it as an acronym, or do we?
No, I see it in mails or in messages, like
in articles, in the press.
Yeah, I don't
see it that much.
No, I don't see it that much, but I have seen it
as an adjective. It's like, work from home lifestyle, sort of WFH.
I think I have seen it, because it does look like WTF if you
exactly
well if you don't look closely it sort of registers as that.
I was tripping up over that now, because I was gonna say it, and it was, and the other one was,
I've got to be WTF this week.
Yeah, exactly.
That's every week for you then, Lindsay.
Yeah,
surely.
That's most of the time.
So we have a new acronym that has appeared that's for teachers but for everybody, the WFH, working from home. What else, Sean? What have you discovered?
I'll default to the research rather than me. In the first episode, suggested that commuting on the underground would increase your life expectancy by 1 second or something like that. So I was interested to see if, obviously, with the pandemic and creating the change in life, I was looking back to see what people thought of commute and see if there had been research on commute. And allegedly, and this is fairly recent studies, so from last year, so it's obviously post-pandemic, there are people that the commuting plays a big part in people's lives, and because it allows you to do other things. I think at this point, teachers are probably thinking, yeah, how many lessons have I planned on the commute?
Yes, or correcting, or how many students thinking, how much homework have I finished on the commute? Yes.
But they list some things like the researchers describing it as having a positive utility, in the sense that that it's a place where, especially where you can either take time out to decompress from one side of it. But then if you're commuting in your own car, there's that sense of control, because it's your own car and your own space. So you've got that double-sided positivity thing. Also, it's a place where you can do things like I mentioned, like homework, etc. But also listening to audiobooks, making calls, and just kind of catching time up for yourself with it. And so there was a suggestion in this research that I think we talked about teachers. I think all teachers we talked about getting back face to face, but actually not necessarily in education, but people are talking about the commute is an important part of work because it allows, it's how it provides a lot of psychological aspect positivity to your working day, which then went by the by when we were just waking up and going online, so to speak. So I thought that was quite interesting.
It's, I like that idea as well. Is that because one of, obviously the, you know, working from home is something that's kind of pushed as being positive for everyone, etc. But there is that whole thing of buffer zone between work and home. And how do you draw the lines and the boundaries? And recently I was reading stuff kind of from a parent's point of view of how has this affected kids and how, we don't know yet, because how will it affect kids as they grow up, having had to watch their parents working at home and all of the limitations that that put on their home environments? And I think it's like for lots of us, it was, you know, your bedroom was your office, was your classroom, was your, and so yeah, I think psychologically boundaries were definitely blurred and made it difficult for a lot of people.
And I think that's that idea of it being a buffer between home and work, like the commute makes it the literal physical buffer, like you need to cross that space as well. So that was a, that was an interesting aspect. I think in the and another healthy aspect perhaps of it, presuming, like thinking, going back to Kerry's point at the beginning of an ideal commute being 40-minute walk, I know if I had a half-hour walk to a dream commute, that would be, I'd be thinking in my head, there's my exercise for the day. Yeah. You know, an hour walking every day, that's like my, absolutely, you know, I can listen to podcasts, some music, I can, whatever, I can catch up on some phone calls or whatever, I can pick things up on the way home. I think there was all of that as well, that, that, you know, when you compress all of that time and you're not commuting at all, you lose that aspect as well.
I think also there was another thing, is like my little guest who interrupted earlier on in the episode, the number of people who had dogs since they've started working from home has absolutely exploded, because that's how you get out and replace your commute with a walk, is by having a dog that needs to go out three times a day.
So do you think then, so 8 years ago, we talked about the commute, as I think it's been a very much part of a teacher's life with it. Is it still as there?
I think so, yes. I think in some ways we're getting back to what it was before. So in some ways that hasn't changed, but in other notable ways, it still is part of the teacher's life, in the sense that the non-commute, sort of like the working from home for your classes, I think also, I don't know, I'd be interested to, I know some teachers enjoy that, but I think for myself, when I have classes, I just go straight from my living room into the office here and do the class right away without that sort of physical change of space. It's I feel that I miss that, or that I've lost something of that, and I'd be curious, I mean, if others feel the same way.
Yeah, are we shortchanging the students as well, maybe, by not kind of having time to go into teacher persona? I'm sure there are people who do, who have, you know, whatever routines in order to be able to switch hats and become the teacher. But I agree with you, Lindsay. For me, it's kind of very much slipping out of one role and into another. And
yeah, and I think, I mean, it's there was a whole thing that the commute, I'm not just thinking of the bus and the walk, but it's the arrival at the school, it's the grabbing the coffee, saying hi to people at the teacher's room, grabbing your stuff. If you consider all of that as part of the commute, that also, that sort of like, that sort of atmosphere just at the end is also lost. You know, I'm sort of in the same room as I was before, you know, and maybe with a completely different group, but now I'm eating in this room, and now I'm sleeping here, and now I'm reading a book or playing a computer game in the same room. So yeah,
I can see why you need that half hour walk now, Lindsay.
Could do.
And on that note, perhaps it's a good time to stop and ask the listeners, do you agree? Is the commute still an important part of a teacher's lifestyle? I think we all agree that being the face-to-face aspect, which kind of Lindsay touched upon at the end there, is important. But what about the commute itself? Are you happy? Do you commute the same? Do you commute the less? Let us know in the comments, wherever you listen to this podcast, or of course on Facebook or on our website. Nice to be back.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for coming back. Good to talk to you again. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.